Hi, this is Mark Waid, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 368 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Todd, along with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
I'm doing good. Crisis averted-ish, but we're going to make do. The things I do for these podcasts.
You mean almost everything?
Someone had lamented to me that the reason I don't have the 280 characters on Twitter is because I don't do 4 hours of podcast a week. But I do almost two a week. I think I should get at least maybe like, not the 280 Twitters, but, you know, bump me up to like 175.
See, I had a completely original idea for the month of the month that's podcast month. I think we should do a podcast every day, Joe.
No.
Completely original idea that is completely my own and not anybody else's on this network.
Now, see, the thing about that, you saying that means I will hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't.
Isn't that the beauty of living in a vacuum, Joe?
Right.
But
some people say I live in the bubble, Todd. The wrestling bubble.
Oh, I hope that never bursts.
Remind me, write down wrestling bubble for later.
Okay, hold on. I got a pen and it says wrestling bubble on my paper right now.
Right.
Okie dokie.
That's something that we could have done on After Dark if we recorded After Dark.
After this show.
After this show, that's right.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Right, but what do we have to discuss on this week's show, Todd?
Creators leaving a book. Winter special by a big creator and also has a posthumous story. A tie-in with badges. Badges? What are even badges? But anyway, and when is an exclusive not an exclusive, Joe?
When it's a jar.
Oh, that's a good one. Good
you like
one.
That?
Yeah, that is good. Also, con news, free digital books and sales. What we read last week, which was Dark Knight's Metal number 3 and Mr. Miracle number 3. What we're looking forward to this week, Todd's Art Attack. Also, Joe and Todd have issues, which was Ghost Rider Volume 2, number 68. And at the end of the show, we're going to have spoilery-filled talk about the first episode of Flash and Legends of Tomorrow.
Right, the return of the two of the 19 CW shows that we watch.
I thought, do you even watch other CW shows?
No.
I watch Riverdale, but that's
right, but you also watch Arrow?
Yes, I watch Arrow.
Right, but you do not watch Supergirl.
No, I may because it's on Netflix, but I don't watch it like
as
like
it
weekly.
Happens.
Yes,
yeah. I had to give up my valuable time watching a professionally made Friday the 13th fan film.
Oh boy!
To watch my stuff for the show.
That's how did you get that job and not me?
It's October. I'm like in a horror movie month, you know, horror movie mood sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So let's get into the news here, Mr. Corey. So there was an article in the Washington Post last week touting the husband and wife comic book duo of Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, all the stuff that they've done together and so forth. And wedged into that release was that they are ending their run on Harley Quinn.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't say forever. It does say that they're just going to be taking a break, taking a step back, and, quote, maybe spend some of the money we made in the book. And, yeah, so that's very surprising because they... Now, obviously, the Suicide Squad movie kind of helped elevate Harley Quinn.
Right.
But they were doing, you know, the Lord's work on that book for a better part of 2 years before that movie came out.
They made it prominent in the comic industry, even before Suicide Squad made it big. You know, Suicide Squad made it bigger, but they made it big even before the movie came out. They get credit. So, at least that's the way I feel.
Right, and for the foreseeable future, their friend and great convention-going panel guest, if you will, Frank Thierry is going to be taking over the writing chores, and Inaki Miranda, who I'm unfamiliar with, is going to be taking over the art chores. Now, I don't know if Amanda's going to be doing some of the covers for the books that they're going to be off of. That'll be very interesting to see. It's just weird to see them off that book, because it's the book that they've been associated with for such a very, very long time.
Well, you know, everybody's got to go their own separate ways, and they have other stuff that they... it always shocks me a little bit, like when Jason Aaron walked away from Star Wars. You know, like, these are money books. Like, he even said, like, cash some of that, spend some of that money. But, you know, the creative types, which, you know, I've never, like, had that mindset, mm-hmm. is they want to go do other things. And, you know, like, the paycheck's nice, but they want to do their own creator-owned stuff. She wants to do more interiors again, she said, which she can't, you know, she's not super fast, but, you know, while writing too, that, you know, takes up your time. So, you know, good for them. I'd rather be well off and happy than rich and sad.
That's a tough one.
You know what? I lean towards rich. You could buy happiness.
Whatever is going to get me to a point where the most amount of people leave me alone.
Ooh, rich.
Yeah.
Rich is that way, because you could move up into the mountains and people won't, you know, find you.
Right, and that's what I'd love, oh, man. Well, see, that's the other thing. I don't want to move up into the mountains. I want to be close to stuff.
Well, with money, you could get, like, a hidden pad that you could just live at and nobody know where it is and still be in town. It'd be like, hey, you know, that house over there, we don't really know who lives in there. And it's like you just like drinking your root beers, you know, having your fun, doing whatever it is you do at home, which I don't even want to know. Let's not get into that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, me, I'd like the same way. I'd like to be rich and have the drawbridge and just be like, leave me alone. Like, leave me alone. And send out my minions when I need it. Someday from Long Box Heroes.
I've learned I can't trust minions.
Money buys loyalty, man.
I guess. We'll find
out. And competence. Money buys competence when you're giving it to them and then they mess it up and you get rid of them. The one that's there that sees it's like, I ain't messing up.
So anyway, Jimmy and Amanda moving off of Harley Quinn. I know Jimmy is doing the Jetsons book.
Right.
At DC. I'm sure he's got other, as you mentioned, creator-owned stuff that they have in the pipeline. So, best of luck to them. I'm sure DC would love to have them back on that book at any time, you know?
Oh, that'd be no problem.
Right. So, moving along with some other comic book news. There was a story from a couple weeks ago that was on our tentative list, because we weren't really sure what it was. It was some creators, Tom King and Jason Fabok, tweeting out just generic stuff about snow and about white and about all this other stuff, and there was speculation of what this could be. Well, the speculation has ended with the December or the January solicitations coming out, and they are doing a Swamp Thing winter special to be coming out at the very end of January, and it's going to be essentially an annual because it's a 5-Wednesday month, so there's a bunch of annuals coming out from DC that month, and it's, I guess, since Swamp Thing doesn't have an ongoing title, he just gets a winter special. I think Tom King is the first person to write Swamp Thing in Rebirth?
Probably. No! Wait, sorry, I'm losing my mind. Yes, because he did it in Batman.
That he's right, the first I'm just wondering where else Swamp Thing has shown up in Rebirth.
No, I think it's just that one Batman issue and now this special. And as you're talking about, he doesn't get an ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Side note that there's going to be the Len Wein posthumous story, which was supposed to be an ongoing book.
Oh, really?
Yes, that I read in an interview that that was the script, I guess, for the first issue of an ongoing Len Wein Swamp Thing book. So, you know, alas, we, you know, we're not going to get that, but we do get one last story from him.
Right, I do see that here, that it was supposed to be the beginning of a new series to follow a mini-series. So it was going to be like a mini-series to launch into an ongoing. But obviously, circumstances being what they are, that did not happen. But hey, I like Swamp Thing. I like all of these parties involved. So if you've been missing Swamp Thing from Rebirth, here's your Swamp Thing fix.
Yep. And it's going to look beautiful.
Oh, Sabak, yeah. Those uncolored pages look fantastic.
He's one of the bright future guys, man. Big things.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other DC books that are coming out a little bit sooner than January, that's Doomsday Clock, which is coming out just about a month from now as we're recording this. And, of course, as with any sort of big release, whether it be from Marvel or DC or any company, they have some promotional materials. And I do have to tip my hat to DC here. One, I might be a little late on getting those Watchmen replica pins out.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say pins, they're calling them the correct term, which is badges.
Well,
let's not muddy the issue and sully the good name of anything that's not pins.
I wanted to discuss that because these are the Doomsday Clock badges. What they gave away at New York Comic Con, and I guess San Diego too, I found out, was actual pins. The backs are different. They have the little, like, what would you call it? The piece that you put over the pin when you push it through your shirt. So it is actually a pin that they gave away. These are the button back, like, badges, like you said. So they're different than what I got at the Comic Con.
Right, for actual mass consumption.
Right, cheaper, I guess.
They're giving out not pins.
Right. And did you know, I was discussing this with someone at the comic shop the other day. Do you know why all the Watchmen stuff and the Doomsday Clock and the two-parter with Batman and Flash had international covers versus the United States covers, and they didn't have the smiley face Watchmen badge on it?
Isn't it the smiley logo is trademarked in the UK or something?
Right, so when they sell stuff in the like all overseas, I don't know which countries all have it. They can't have that on the cover, so they push it over here heavy that the smiley face button is there, but they can't over there. So I'm that's why I'm even looking at like these. They tweak the badges and everything, so they have the, you know, the clock on it. You will never see it with the smiley face stuff.
Very interesting. And again, obviously, as I thumb my nose at DC for not getting on the ball and getting those smiley badges out sooner, I completely forgot about that. It's one of those things, like, I knew that, but as you were speaking it, I was reminded of it.
Well, that's what I do. And while we're talking about promotional stuff, I'm looking at you, Marvel Comics. I still want my Infinity Stones.
And the value stamps? A little bit of a letdown.
Why? Why are they a bit of a letdown?
Because they're not actual stamps.
Aren't they stickers that come out?
I don't think so.
Do I have one here? I think they actually peel off, don't they?
I know that on the page where there's the digital redeem code, it says that so you don't mess up your book, by redeeming this code, you also get a digital version of the stamp.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, that's on you to start peeling stuff out of your books.
But I'm pretty sure I don't have any Marvel books in my... were right near me, so... Oh, yes, I do. But, yeah, I thought that there was, like... Isn't there a piece of cardboard in there that has the stamps on it?
Has the stamps on it, but I didn't know you could take them out.
I thought so. Yeah, well, Yeah, it has little perforated lines around it.
Are those real perforated lines?
Yes, like that. I could see them. Like you could tear this out of the. This is your Marvel stamp for clip them out and collect them. There's little perforated lines. I have the
right,
Nick Fury.
Clip them out. You have to cut them out yourselves.
That's what you had to do in the old ones.
Oh boy, now see.
Do you know what the old Marvel stamps were?
No, it was before my time.
Okay, literally on a page somewhere in the comic, there would be a stamp on the page, just like printed on the newsprint page. You had to take scissors to your comic.
Oh boy.
And cut it out. So a lot of comics from that area have a little square that is just cut out. And the big one, the biggest one that has that is Hulk 181, has a Marvel stamp in it.
That's so just a random issue. There's nothing big that could have happened in that.
Right. Schnicked. So you have to check that one whenever you're buying it. And then you would get a stamp book that you could stick the stamps in. Like, you'd have to tape them in. The Marvel stamp books are super expensive. Like, because a lot of people didn't have them. But in here now, this is, so you, they have the little cardboard that's bound into the thing so you don't have to rip up your comic. So, there you go. You just got a history of the Marvel value stamp.
I know we've talked about them on the show before, but we've never gone that in-depth on them. And I got to go start pulling them out of all my books.
There you go.
You don't see them giving away pins, I'm just saying.
Right, but now you have to go buy the other ones that, because the, like, there's different ones in different books. So, right. Like, if you don't get a book, you have to buy every Marvel book so you have the complete collection, Joe.
Do they give you a book like they did last time?
I'm wondering if they're going to, but I don't think they've announced it. I don't remember how you got the, because that was before my time, too. I don't know how you got the Marvel stamp book. I'm guessing you had to send away for it. I don't know if you had to send, like, if it was free and you had to, like, do the shipping and handling thing or you had to buy it. That I don't know.
Well, either way, buttons, stickers, still good. Pins still stink.
Stop it.
All right, so the last story, speaking of New York Comic Con, speaking of stuff that you can get there, apparently there was some controversy over what is considered an exclusive and not an exclusive. Now, we had talked before that there was a bunch of stuff that was shared exclusives. Like, I know there was some Funko stuff that you could get days before the con at places like Books A Million, FYE, things right. of that nature. But I guess there was some issue with a Loot Crate item.
Yes, that was apparently an exclusive that was you could only get from the show, and then it was someplace else. So some gentleman or lady decided to put a stop payment on theirs because it wasn't as advertised, and they got their money back and got to keep the item. And my big thing about this is I was talking with a couple of people, especially people who do cons with me or do cons on their own, that we've talked how, like, the word exclusive has been thrown around and the definition is getting looser and looser. And I think this may change a lot. I don't know. They were talking about maybe, you know, adding a simple line to cover their butts, like, you know, New York Comic Con exclusive may offer some, like, you know, residual pieces after con is over to other places so you can cover your. But if I still had my receipt and I paid with, like, however, like, that I could get money back, like, with a credit card for my Funko Pop from the First Doctor, hey, if I'm entitled to that money, I would have scammed it back. I would have been all over that. So we'll see how it changes exclusives in the future.
I definitely think they just need to make their wording a little bit clearer.
Or make them only available at the show.
Right, or for a certain amount of time. Not have it be a con exclusive, then you're able to, and say this exclusive, not that it's a shared exclusive, but have it be an exclusive, and then 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, then it rolls out to the general public. Or not at all.
Not at all. See, the way it used to be was, a lot of these things that you knew were going to be big, they just didn't even make, like, enough. Like, obviously, it didn't end up at the con, but the James Gunn Funko Pop, which was limited to 500, like, if that's a show exclusive, that's going to sell out. There's no, you're not going to have other, like, other pieces. But what happens is they make so many now that they become available all around. What I think is just going to happen is the production numbers are going to be lower and people are going to want them even more and they'll sell out and you won't have to worry about them being sold anywhere else. But I'm just glad I got my first Dr. Funko. I know you were worried, so.
I was. When you put that picture out, I was so happy.
I knew you could rest easy.
Mm-hmm.
Did your boy ever get the Zack Snyder one?
From he never told me if he did or didn't.
Oh, well, find out, because I need to know how that ends.
Right. Now, I do want to just mention, you'd spoke about the James Gunn Funko.
Right, which never... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Which I think they said never made it to the show. It would be somewhere else, I guess. I don't know.
Right. But, so, it was limited to only 500. And he said that they were sold. I guess what happened was they sold out on, there was like places that you can get them online beforehand, mm-hmm. and they sold out even before they hit the floor.
Wow.
So James Gunn himself was, given a few of them, 10 of them. And this is just, you know, obviously he's doing something very good with this. So he has 10 of them that he has signed and he is raffling off. Raffle ticket is $1 each, or 12 tickets for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And all the proceeds are going to a charity called United for Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's for, nice.
People who are currently affected by the natural disasters in Puerto Rico. I'm trying to see when this ends. It does not... Oh, it ends on... As I'm looking at a calendar here, on the 25th of October. So it's about a week that you have.
Do you want to take some money out of petty cash?
not joint petty cash, but I was like, this is just something he had announced literally Tuesday night. So this is probably something that I will be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one to give to a good cause, and you know, hey, maybe I might get it. You know.
Oh, you want to keep it, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, I would. Oh no, I would immediately flip it online, because that's the sort of dirtbag I am.
Nothing wrong with that, man. You keep it or flip it, I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with making a buck off something somebody wants.
Right. Now, see, this is the thing. This is something that I want.
Oh, that's right. I get that. Then keep it.
Right.
I have no problem with that.
Right.
But... The way you threw dirtbag around liberally,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm fine with flipping stuff.
I'm the sort of guy. Let me put it this way.
I know it's too much work for you.
No. Work notwithstanding, I've sold a bunch of stuff on eBay or secondary markets or so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't cover it on the show, but the recent Joe Quesada story about what happened to him.
Ugh. Yeah.
And his art collection. Mm-hmm. You know, that puts a second, it kind of, you know, puts the secondary market in a different light for me right now. You know, obviously you can't judge everyone by the actions of one person, but it's very easy to have that in the back of your mind when you're thinking of the secondary market.
But that's completely different.
No, I know it's completely different. It's apples and oranges, or even apples and cars. It's not even the same thing.
That's what I was going to say.
Right, but... I was going to say, if I win the auction, should I ask him to personalize it to eBay seller?
Wow.
That's the sort of thing I'm talking about. You know, there's a lot of people who, like, get flight manifests and accost people getting on or off airplanes,
mm-hmm.
get the autograph, and then... They're not even out of the airport or wherever they may have accosted the person, and it's already up on eBay.
I personally like when people do shows and like Broadway, and it's like, well, I'm a famous, you know, actor who was in a comic book movie, and it's like, there's my playbill, sign it. Here's the action figure of me, and it's like, nope. I only sign the playbill stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. So I get it.
Well, that's the discretion of the person, you know.
Well, we could do a whole show on flipping, and I'll give you my whole, like, is that too far? Like, it's lines that you have to decide for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And that's, you know what, that's a good topic for like an After Dark somewhere down the line.
Right.
Right.
We'll forget.
Right. Write it down.
I put it right next to Wrestling Bubble.
Okay. So, Todd, there's a bunch of conventions this weekend.
Where we can go get stuff to flip.
Right. Go ahead. Like, if you wanted to go to the Santa Fe Comic Con in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you can get something jointly signed by Bob Layton, Lita, and Booker's T.
Booker's T?
Yes. Not to be confused with Booker T.
Okay, I guess.
All right. There's also the Melbourne Toy and Comic Con, not in Melbourne, Australia, but Melbourne, Florida, where Tyler Kirkham is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's two conventions in the greater Massachusetts area. One is called MICE, the Massachusetts Indie Comics Expo in the Cambridge area. And then there's the biggie, and I was actually just saying this to someone the other day, the Super Mega Fest in Marlborough, Massachusetts.
Right.
This is more your celebrity sort of driven one. Kevin Eastman is there, but that's really about the end of the line for actual comic book creators.
That's a big one, though.
Mm-hmm, that is a big one. But Lee Majors is going to be there.
The star of Raven?
Mm-hmm. Linda Blair.
The star of Exorcist 2?
Both Tom Berenger and Corbin Burnson.
Oh, L.A. Law and the Sniper movies.
No, I was going to say we're like two-fourths of the way to a Major League reunion.
Oh, mm-hmm. I would love that. That would be fantastic.
Now, the world of professional wrestling, it's a cornucopia, folks. Mick Foley is going to be there.
The guy who shares my birthday.
Right. Fred Ottman is going to be there.
Of the Ottman Empire?
Yes, of the Ottman Empire, or formerly known as Tugboat, Typhoon, the Shockmaster, Uncle Fred, many aliases he's been known as.
Wait a minute, Uncle Fred?
Yeah, he wrestled as Uncle Fred.
Was he with, was he with Hillbilly Jim?
No, that's Uncle Elmer. You're thinking it's a completely different kettle of fish there.
Okay, all right.
Uncle Fred wasn't a hillbilly, he was a construction worker.
Oh, he was a real man's man, gotcha. Right.
No, that was William Regal, not going to be there.
Who used to come out with British Mr. Fuji, gotcha. Right.
And then Bill Eady and Barry Darso are going to be there.
Oh, those sound like two names I should know.
Right. Now, Bill Eady's played several characters throughout the course of his career. Masked Superstar, just to name one. But Barry Darso, on the other hand. Oh, boy. The plethora of characters that he's played over the course of his career. He was Crusher Khrushchev, the Russian sympathizer.
Oh,
he was Demolition Smash, one half of Demolition. He was the Blacktop Bully. He was hole-in-one Barry Darso.
Huh?
And some other guy who wore like a teabag bandit mask and a coat with plates on it or something. I don't know.
Sounds delightful, that gimmick.
Gimmick he refuses to do anywhere.
Really?
By the way, yes.
Because it's too good.
I guess. He doesn't want to overshadow everyone.
That's right. He doesn't want to come in and they'll be like, hey, who's, you know, the Pope will be standing there. Who's that guy with Repo Man?
Get that weird guy with the hat away from that celebrity.
That's right.
But the other big convention this weekend is the Grand Rapids Comic Con in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Plethora of folks are going to be there. Another, kind of more celebrity-driven one. Kevin Sorbo of Hercules fame is going to be there. Kane Hodder, most notably for his portrayal as Jason in the Friday the 13th movies.
Kane Colder.
No. Billy Dee Williams, famous from the movie Mahogany.
And the Colt 45 commercials.
Right. And the only real comic book creator that's like the featured comic book creator that's going to be there is Jim Steranko.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Unrelated, if you head over to the soon-to-be named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com, you can check out a bunch of other shows from whether it be Todd and I, this show, or After Dark. other shows like Podvocacy, Profane Arguments, Fresher in Parlance, Aim Down Sights podcast, Puzzle Warriors 3, which I was on last week.
I heard.
Right. It went over like gangbusters.
Did you guys talk about whether or not we're ever going to get Rogue and Gambit and Nightcrawler?
We actually did get Rogue and Gambit, and Nightcrawler comes out tomorrow.
Wow, look at me being timely.
Right. Now if we get Dazzler, then we're all sunk.
Oh, Lady Gaga, that's the role she was born to play.
But just like I mentioned all those other conventions, the links to those are going to be in the show notes, just as well as the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, where you can hear all sorts of stories from all sorts of different people, maybe even the story about one of the people mentioned in this show, or maybe not. Who knows?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. You need to have your name spelled correctly online. Don't go by aliases. Come on.
That's right. If you have an alias account, you're dirt.
Right. Exactly. I agree. Digital sales and freebies. It's the same freebies from last week. I double-checked the Marvel list before we started recording. Dark Horse is still having a sale ongoing on their horror-related stuff. And I checked it out, and there's a bunch of stuff that's missing. I'm telling you, I need a job at one of these companies to curate these lists to make sure that everything that can be on these lists are on these lists.
Okay.
That's all. I'm just saying.
Maybe there's like lawyer stuff that they're not all on there. I don't know.
I don't know either, Todd.
Because it can't be illogical the way they do it. There has to be a reason.
Well, you know, and Marvel, for the most part, kind of sort of does it right. They're the one who, like, they're doing an Iron Fist sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's on sale for Iron Fist? Any book that had the words Iron and Fist or Iron Fists next to each other, they're all on sale.
Right.
And it's just like, we're not going to pick and choose. We're not going to be like, well, we're going to do this one, but not that one. Hey, did you want the weird two-issue miniseries? Remember they used to do two-issue miniseries?
A micro-series.
Right, a micro-series. And then, you know, you want that. You want the Iron Fists plural book that spun out of the Matt Fraction, Ed Brubaker Iron Fist book. By all means. Everything's included in this sale. And that's the way you should do it. It just put, if you're doing a sale on X, put all of X on sale.
I like the way DC does it. It's a Justice League sale. Here's Justice League Volume 1, 28, 30, 55, 172, Volume 2, 1, the last issue, Volume 3. That's the way I like it.
Well, I will say this. The DC sale this time around is Jim Lee. It's because of the 15-year anniversary of Hush, right?
Oh, the dwarf from the Lord of the Rings movies? Oh, no, wait, that's Gimli. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. So Hush is on sale, of course. And then it's like anything that he did the art for or a cover for is in this collection, but it's all trades.
Okay.
So, like, if he did a cover for a trade or if he did a story in a book, and it's not even everything because technically they own all the Wildstorm stuff.
Right.
And he's done a bunch, like, all the Wildstorm stuff is under the DC umbrella, so all of that stuff should be on sale, and it's not.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Look at you, complaining about DC sales. Just buy the sales and be quiet, Joe.
Put me in charge. What I'm saying is put me in charge.
All right. Can I be your right-hand man?
No.
Oh.
I don't need no helpers.
That's right. My second command style is that of the original Starscream from the G1 cartoons. So you got to watch out.
You're going to kick me off Astro Train when I'm not expecting it?
That's right. I still function. Not for long. I love that. That's one of my favorite scenes in movies.
Absolutely. That was one of the better scenes of that movie.
Right.
Yes. So, let's get into what we read from this past week. Since I just rambled on for a while, I'm going to let you kick things off.
Right, which the book I was looking forward to most was Mr. Miracle 3 by Tom King. And who's drawing it?
The artist is...
Mitch Gerards?
Mitch Gerards.
Gerards? Okay,
yes,
if you know better
than
I...
There's an extra R in there.
Right. But basically, this is the part of the 12-part series where the war between Apocalypse and New Genesis is going on, and Orion now is the leader of the New Gods, and he's has Mr. Miracle and Barda as generals, but they get to spend some time on Earth during the war, and this is the point where Mr. Miracle has people coming to him, and they're questioning the way Orion is, because they believe that there's something wrong with it. But we still have this weird, nonchalant Mr. Scott Free, who's not really 100% sure what's real and what's not. I really enjoyed this issue, but this was more of a bridge issue. We're going to see where it goes, because we get the revelation that maybe Orion isn't what he seems, and there's some cool stuff. Anytime there's a interaction between Barda and Scott, that's when this book shines. But once again, I feel like that this issue is a smaller part of the long haul, and that's not bad. But as I've read Tom King's stuff before, especially his 12-part series, is this will all come together by the end. And there's pieces here that we probably don't even understand yet. So, like I said, I enjoyed it, but I feel this is a smaller part of the bigger picture.
Now, being that this is a 12-issue miniseries, I wonder if it's going to have, the mid-run break.
I doubt it. I have a feeling this is going to be a solid... Do you mean just story-wise or a break in the, in the production schedule?
Kind of like how, the TV shows that only do, a half season or 13, where they'll do, the full run and then take a couple months off. I'm not saying that it's going to take a couple months off between issue 6 and 7, but is it going to be end of issue 6 is going to be almost like a first half finale? Or a first half cliffhanger, if that makes any sense?
I get what you're saying, but I highly doubt it, because it seems like when DC gives him this stuff, what was the one that he did, Omega Men, they just trade these as 12-issue series. So I have a feeling this is going to flow like all the other stuff that he's done.
Right.
I don't know, did you read his new his Omega Men?
No, I never got a chance to.
Right, it doesn't do that in the middle that I remember.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if it's the same way. He envisions them as 12-issue stories.
Mm-hmm. So I like this. It's a really good-looking book, as you mentioned. Any of the stuff with Scott and Barda is great. I love the way that Gerads draws Barda in the book. I like that she's a physically imposing presence without really shoving it in your face.
You know what? The best way to describe it for me is when she's Barda, she's just a tall woman who just hangs out with Scott. But when she's big Barda, she's a presence. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's the difference. Her is just you're all a really tall woman sitting at a cafe with Scott Free. But when she's the general, she has the armor on. He does it seamlessly going from one to the other.
Right. So I'm liking the book, but I definitely think this is going to be something that really is going to read better once it's all said and done.
His 12-part stuff usually does. His Vision, Allah, and Omega Man, that's the best way to read them.
Right. So moving on to the other book that we both read is Dark Knight's Metal number 3. Written by Scott Snyder with art by Greg Capullo. This is more of the main story arc. Barbatos has been going through the multiverse, stealing more people's powers, getting his essential army of Batman to take things over while keeping our Bruce from our universe kind of away. And Superman is more or less the lead of this story, as he is continuing to try to find our Bruce.
Right.
I love Capullo's art in this. Now, I don't know if it's a different colorist than he's used in the past, but there's just something that feels a little bit different about his art here than it did from the previous Snyder Capullo Bat stuff. It is doing its best to tie everything together, but I felt as though this was, at its heart, this one was more about the Batman-Superman relationship than anything else.
Right. And I'm a sucker anytime you get Detective Chimp and the Oblivion Bar. So
right.
That pops
up. That was
up
the place where they couldn't find them.
Right. And I think that's where you're talking about the colorist, where it really pops as a different look to it, is when they're in the Oblivion Bar and it looks like, you know, they don't have power and the lighting's different because of where they are, that it really looks different. But when you're like earlier on in the book, when, you know, they're in the snow and everything, mm-hmm. that looks a little more like the Capullo stuff. I don't know. To me, it just, and I don't know, there's probably a couple of different people who did stuff on this, because when you get to the last couple of pages, there's it looks a little different than Capullo's stuff from the beginning. I don't know if he was like when Flash and Superman are racing,
right?
And they find the big towers. I'm not 100% sure that's all Capullo, so I think he had help with this issue.
Now, is there anyone else credited it?
There's a lot of credits in the front, and I hate when they do that and they don't put. Like, they should put pages.
Oh, okay, yes, yes.
They have Scott Sledgehammer Snyder, Greg Capullo, Jonathan Glapion. I don't know, there's a couple of names, and I don't know. Jim Lee's in here, too, so I don't know. You know?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. As I'm looking at it here, John Glapion did do some of the extra art in there. I think Jim Lee and so forth is like maybe one of the variant covers.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's yes.
Right, right, right. So they've attempted to figure out, you know, and this is where the metal part comes in, of course. And now they just have to find more of that metal so that they'll be able to defeat Barbados. And or Barbados, or however it's pronounced. But this is like the middle part of this story arc. There are a bunch of the other tie-ins. I haven't gotten a ton of them. I only got the one Flash one. And I feel as though I'm not missing anything by not picking up everything else, if that makes any sense.
I totally agree, because I picked up the Flash one and I loved it. But that was written by the Flash writer. Then I picked up the Cyborg one, and that's when I realized what they were doing. And I didn't have to pick them all up. It was, all right, we're going to tell the story of the Justice League, how the Bat of whatever Earth got their powers. And then I was like, okay, I'm out. And then there was the Green Lantern one where Batman got the ring on whatever Earth. And I was like, all right, it's not, it might've been Venditti. So I might go back. And the Aquaman one came up this week, is coming out this week, which is by Dan Abnett, who writes the Aquaman. So I'm thinking about going back and getting the ones that are maybe written by the creators of the books I'm enjoying, if that makes any sense, and skipping the other ones. But I'm knowing that they're not pivotal to the ongoing story, if I want to go back and grab them at any point, I may, just for extra reading enjoyment.
Right, and that's kind of the way that I think a crossover should be, where it's not muddying up the main book so much itself. I know they did like a Teen Titans Nightwing crossover, where things kind of got a little muddy if you weren't getting both parts, but those parts weren't really integral to the main story. It was just, with the Rebirth recently, at least, you know, recently, listen to me, it's Rebirth recently, it's been around for 16 months or whatever it is, and the times that they've done crossovers, it just so lucked out that it was stuff that I was reading both things, whether it be like the Batman Flash button stuff, or the previous, where they did Detective and Nightwing, or whatever it was, or it was something where I wasn't reading either book, like when they did Titans and Deathstroke, I'm like, well, I'm not reading either one of those books, I'm not going to pick up either of those books, so there. But to do a crossover where if you're going to muddy up the main books, it's not going to be too muddied. And if you really want to do something with those books, do those separate one-shots that aren't really 100% necessary.
But the ones that I like, and I'm not knocking because I like the one shots. They're nice that you don't have to read them, or you can read them. But I read Nightwing, and the Nightwing tie-in to Metal was, to me, it was like, it was, I wish they had just stuck to the one shots, because now they're going to do it in Flash too. The next issue of Flash or whatever, or the one after it, is a Metal tie-in, and it brought Nightwing to a screeching halt for that storyline. And I have a feeling it's going to do the same for Flash, if you know what I mean. And the ongoing books, I'm not big on the tie-ins. On the one-shots, I'm more down with. So that's what I'm trying to say.
But again, I'm still enjoying Metal so far. It hasn't really shaken things up. And we already know what it's going to shake up. We know it's going to add some extra crazy books coming out toward the end of this year, beginning of next.
And it's not a an event book until they add an extra issue of Metal. That's right. What I want at the end. That Snyder had an even better ending. That's what I want.
I don't know. That chart that his kids made seems pretty set in stone.
And do you think this is going to tie into Doomsday Clock at all?
Hmm.
I'm calling my shot and saying it will. They have to. That's the biz nowadays.
I could see something maybe tacked on. And I could see not overtly, like, the last issue of Metal isn't going to say, to be continued in Doomsday Clock.
Right.
But I could definitely see around, like, issue, how many issues is Doomsday Clock?
12, isn't it?
Okay. I could see
Everything is 12 now. That's what Watchmen was.
Okay. So I could see somewhere around that midpoint break, as I talked about with Mr. Miracle, around that midpoint break, them referring to something that happened in Metal that is now being made a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now that kind of the pieces, because, you know, we're into February with the solicitations. Well, January, but like in the January solicitations, there's like 3 DC books that are advanced solicited for February. So there's still Metal spinoff going up until February.
And we could always get an extra issue of Metal.
I don't know about that.
It's that chart that Snyder's kid had. That's a dry eraser board. We can fix that. big Papa Pump's kids could just get the little eraser out.
Ugh. Anyway, I could see Metal not referencing Doomsday Clock, but I could see Doomsday Clock referencing Metal, if that makes any sense.
Sure, because it'll be easier because
it's done.
Exactly, where they may be tweaking Doomsday Clock, so they don't want to set anything in stone and Metal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. See what I did there? Metal and stone.
Right.
It's all good.
Iron and stone would have been better, but I get you.
Whatever.
There's metal, no DC Iron book.
There should be.
Even though John Henry Irons was in this book.
Yes, he was.
All right, so moving on. We talked about what we read from the last week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern Time or so, we put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you're getting your books in print, whether you're getting them digitally, whether you're waiting for the trades, oversized hardcovers, omnibuy, mailed to your home, all of the above, getting things in quadruplicate, whatever you're doing, be forewarned, be forearmed. Make sure that you have enough on your prepaid debit card when you go to pick up your books so that you're not making the people at your local comic book shop break their chip reader because you're on your 4th card from your bank and the chip still doesn't work.
Did that happen to anybody we know?
It's almost as though I'm speaking from experience.
Oh, I believe it. I wonder if I even saw something like that recently, but anyway.
Anyway, so Todd and I are both putting up all the books that we are getting this week. We're also keeping a tally of how many books we've purchased so far in the calendar year 2017, broken out by publisher. Next year, we're going to do dollar amount, which will be tough because typically we won't know the dollar amount until the next day.
What do you mean?
Like, I won't know what I spent on my comics until I pick my books up on Wednesday.
I say we just use the cover price and run with it.
You sure?
Yeah. That way it's real simple. You just take the... Because it's all apples and oranges. Or apples and apples.
I guess.
Because here's the way I look at it, is we do get a discount for what we buy.
Kayfabe, you know, we get the good brother discount.
We get the good brother discount. But if you're taking the money off the discount, off the main price, it doesn't matter. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Do you get what I'm saying? So you have to figure it out. We'll figure it out. You know what? This is all too much for me, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm shutting down.
All right. And I also just want to say, you really can't trust certain publishers' websites to know what the actual price of the book is going to be.
Right.
So that could be a little confusing. But anyway, we're definitely going to give it the old college try for next year. But right now, we're attempting to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd is still in the lead with one correct guess. And since he started the show, he gets to guess first.
I'm looking over your list, and I may have more books than you this week, I think. So I'm going to catch up to that total soon.
To 88, 88, 88. I think we have the exact same number of books.
Oh, what's throwing me off is that non-clunky Journey to Star Wars The Last Jedi Captain Phasma 4 title.
Captain Phasma.
Phasma.
Now, notice this time I did not edit or alter what you sent me because I didn't want to accidentally forget a book like I did last week.
That's a you problem, not a me problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at your list, and is the book you're looking to forward to most Mighty Thor 700?
It would be Mighty Thor 700, and I think that's also the same book you're most looking forward to coming out this week as well.
Yes. Are you getting one of them fancy lenticular covers?
Now, you want to bring it up, we could talk about it. So our shop did get some of the lenticular covers in.
Yes, a lot of them, actually.
I don't like the looks of them. Most of them don't work very well.
No, they don't. They're too busy.
They don't lenticular.
No, they don't lenticular. And that was the problem with the last of the button lenticulars. Because if you remember, the first one was like Batman and Flash flipping, holding the button. And it was the same poses, so it worked. Some of them do work when they're so close to the homage
mm-hmm.
that they're almost like traced. The figures are in the exact same spot, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So you could see it. But the last button lenticular cover was just too busy that when you move it, some parts of the lenticular doesn't come through the same way. I got them just because underneath the regular lenticular drawn covers are there. So when you open it up, you could see the two different – do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have them underneath. So it all works out. I have the special lenticular cover. It doesn't cost me any extra. And I have the cool artwork underneath. So it's a double-double.
Yeah. None of them really popped for me last week at the books that I got, like the Amazing Spider-Man one.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance when you go to the shop, check out the sweet lenticular action that it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a three-quarters close-up of Spider-Man's, like, chest and head.
Right.
And when you lenticular it, it's like, oh, he's looking slightly left. Now he's looking slightly right with his arms up. But because it's a three-quarter shot of his chest and head, you can only see, like, kind of, sort of, that his arms are up.
Right. The Invincible Iron Man is one of my favorite takes on one of my favorite covers of all time. So, and that one works really well, so I grabbed that one. From the old Iron Man 150, so.
We'll see how that one looks when I pick it up.
Right. He'll have some probably to swap out if you want. Yeah. When you do the pick the wrong covers, Joe picks the wrong cover segment of going to the comic shop on Wednesday.
Right. It's Todd's favorite part of the day.
It is.
Yes. So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out all the other stuff that we've done in the past. With the past iterations of this show, past iterations of After Dark, the announcement of Gallifrey Bird's Roman numeral X is on this week's After Dark, amongst other things that I forget what they are. It's not like we just recorded it a couple hours ago or something.
Right.
My brain is like an Etch-a-Sketch, a shake, and everything's gone.
Well, hey, you gotta put that on a flash drive and you'll never lose it.
It's the clean show, relax.
I know.
All right. So everything that we've ever done on the internet exists over at longboxheroes.com. If you want to purchase a shirt or a sticker, you could do so there through the site. I don't know. I may have some shirts on my person. This weekend in Old Forge for Powerbomb.tv presents Futures. 3:30 starting time. If you can't be there live, be sure to watch it on Powerbomb.tv. If you are already not a subscriber, you could use the promo code WordsBig80s. Words has alleged that he is going to be there wearing a giant panda suit, which I think might be one of his many lies. But I will certainly be there. So if you are going to be at the show, come over and say hi. I'm usually very busy, and it is going to be a very busy day on top of busy for being a wrestling event as well.
Right. And I have two things to say about that. One is, are you going to be in a panda suit? And two, if I do end up going,
yes,
I may have shirts cheaper in my truck than Joe is selling them at the table.
You're going to undercut yourself.
Yeah, so I'm going to be like, I can tell you a story about undercutting someday when we have with truckers. That was a fun one, but that's an After Dark show.
All right.
I'll put that next to flipping on my list.
There you go. Also, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, you can certainly purchase to your heart's content through our Amazon link. I learned a bunch of new Amazon scams this week.
Oh, boy.
Where you can apply for their, if you're a Prime member, you can apply for their credit card and be approved for like an up to $100 gift card. And then if you purchase things with the Amazon Prime credit card and you're a Prime member, you're getting like double cash back on things and pre-order things. Like if you're a video game pre-order thing, they knock like 10 to 15 bucks off games. So if you like running scams and you like video games, be sure to use our click-through.
Yes, the biggest scam there is.
Yes, so some of the purchases through our click-through this week was someone purchased the DVD of the horror anthology Trick-or-Treat, which is very good, has a long storied history. Someone also purchased a set of anatomic heart specimen coasters.
Nice. I guess it's for Halloween.
I don't know what it's for. And someone also went glow crazy. They purchased volumes 1 and 2 of the very best of Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, as well as Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling the Early Years.
Nice. Those purchases were glorious.
Oh, boy.
What?
I thought I threw that part of the script out.
I found it.
Yes. So, Todd, was there any art attacks this week in addition to part two of your three-part story?
Yes, there was, from a certain gentleman named Andy Hedder, a.k.a. Kayfabe underscore Lincoln. He got a Tom Derenick Red Hood sketch cover on a Shadow and Batman cover that is very nice. And I was there when he got it, so... and also, someone got a Declan Shelby Batman, which was at the same time I got my Moon Knight Declan Shelby. So this person was right next to me. I recognized this piece.
Declan Shelby was doing two pieces at once. Is he ambidextrous? No.
Yes, one pen in each hand.
Right.
No, this was he was right after mine.
Oh, okay.
But basically, this was after – this is the dip in the story, Joe, of the good story, where I had just come from Phil Noto, where I showered him with praises. And then I hate to be this guy, but I didn't know who Declan Shelby was. But because they're sitting – like you have to slide your book past them, I'm like, well, I'm not just going to go past them and not get a sketch. I had to look up above him. They have a little sign that says what he does, and he did Moon Knight, and he was doing a Venomverse tie-in book, and I didn't have time to Google what, you know, else he had done. So I was just like, could you just give me like a Moon Knight? And he's like, oh, well, what one do you want? And I was like, you know, classic one. He did the one with Warren Ellis that had the hat, the fedora. And then I was just like, you know what, Mr. Dealer's choice. Give me whatever, right, draw whatever Moon Knight you want. He's like, you know what would be really cool? The bone one. And he starts drawing it. And at this point, I'm not going to mention who it was because it's the third one on the panel, which was the guy I was really there to get something from, was talking to the guy who's getting the sketch you know, who was in front of me. And we started talking, and I'll tell that whole story next week. But I just no-sold Declan while he was drawing my sketch, and I was talking to the next guy. And when it was done, I was like, oh, I didn't even, like, talk to you. And Declan just went, you know what? The next guy's a bigger legend than me. I totally get it. He's like, I would have been the same way. And I was like, wow, I was a jerk to Declan.
Oh, but Todd,
I got my sketch, and then I got the sketch next that I wanted. And that story's pretty funny.
Well, we'll have to tune in next week to hear that one.
That's a three-parter.
But right now, it's time to discuss Todd and Joe F. issues, which, and this is unfortunately the confusing part, so as I was attempting to search where this Ghost Rider fit in, Todd gave me a little bit of grief, said that it was Volume 2. When I was searching up information online, it claimed that this one was Volume 1. But I guess there was, like, another set when it was the Ghost Rider who rode a horse.
Right.
That and now is technically Volume 1, but the site that I was using didn't classify it as Volume 1 because it was, like, slightly different titled.
Well, I'm looking at the inside cover now of the book because I actually own a copy. And it is called Volume 1, number 68, May 1982, in the cover. So it's all messed up, Joe. Right. I don't understand anymore. But, so anyway,
what is it, what do we got here? So this was the book you picked, so you take point.
Right, it is The Curse of Jonathan Blaze. It's a retelling of his origin. It's written by Roger Stern and drawn by, personally, my favorite creator name in the history of comic creators, Bob Budiansky. I just love that last name. And it's... basically, Johnny Blaze, during a storm, is looking for a place to get out of the rain, and he goes into this church where a priest is locking up the church at night, and he asks for sanctuary, and the priest notices that he's troubled, and he says, is there something wrong? And he's like, I'd like to confess something, Father. And he goes into the confessional and starts confessing the story of how he became the Ghost Rider and his whole life, nice origin story. And as this is going on, the priest is like, what did I get myself into? This guy's obviously deranged. I should have just locked up and, you know, he could be dangerous. And as it's going on, you get the whole story. But then in the true, like, horror comic story, there's a twist on the end that you find out that the priest isn't a priest. He's a thief there, and he had murdered the priest who was running the church and was going to steal all the relics and gold and everything. And Johnny had found the priest's body and knew what was going on and let the Ghost Rider out to punish the burglar who had killed the priest. And I really like the story in that it's told really well. It's, you know, it has the twist ending, and on top of it, it seems overwritten, but because of it, it's a confession. You totally go with, I could see why he'd be like, and then I did this. In explaining it, it's the way you would tell a confession, so it doesn't seem awkward. It just seems very straightforward, and I thought it was really good. And as I'm reading it, I'm realizing again that at this point in his career of Ghost Rider, he's just basically the supernatural Hulk is what he is. He's going from town to town trying to, you know, keep the Ghost Rider in check, but he gets out, and I never really thought of it that way, but Johnny Blaze at this time is just a magical Hulk, and I really enjoyed the issue, and I'm really curious as to what you thought of it.
I liked it a bit. I think if you're a comic book reader, you have a vague knowledge, one sentence explanation that you could probably do for any character, right?
The elevator pitch on any character.
Right, the elevator pitch for any character. And Johnny Blaze is he's the first Ghost Rider, and then Danny Ketch becomes Ghost Rider later, right?
Right.
Now, I did not have any memory of the Ghost Rider being this thing that he almost couldn't control.
Right.
Because most of the Ghost Rider stuff that I read, as I mentioned, was just from the more recent Jason Aaron stuff in the last 10 years or so, where it seemed as though both Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze seemed to be fully in control of their Ghost Rider personas, and it was something that they would switch to as they needed to.
Right.
So it was a little bit different to read the story as Ghost Rider essentially being a burden, and obviously a demon possessing you is a burden, obviously, and the stories I read were much later when they've obviously learned how to control or utilize or harness that burden, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this time, I'm sorry, just to give you a little, like, so you can understand what's going on, up to this point is, in the beginning, from what I remember, is Johnny Blaze could completely control the Ghost Rider, but as time went on, the Ghost Rider took more and more control while that was out. And then I think it was right after this is where we get the story that he finds out that Mephisto had merged, that the Ghost Rider was a demon that was called like Zarathos or something like that, the spirit of vengeance. And he had merged them together, kind of a la the demon and Jason Blood. And that's where we find out the history after this, the history of that character. And it's him trying to find a way to separate the two of them. And it's like kind of like the next stage of the, you know, the Ghost Rider story. And then the Ghost Riders that you remember with Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch weren't that character attached to them, because they even, like, I even remember Johnny Blaze showing up to Danny Ketch and he's like, there's something possessing you, but it's not what was possessing me. So I'm kind of, we got to figure out what it is. And that was the Ketch story trying to figure out what it was. But I only read a little bit of Ghost Rider too, but that's the way I remember it.
Right. Now, the other part that I want to mention is, of course, since this is a retelling of his origin, we are introduced to Crash Simpson.
Right.
Crash Simpson, who quite possibly is the best designed character in the history of comic books.
Yes.
This book is from what, 1981, was it?
I'm looking at the thing right now. 1982.
Okay. So I don't know if there was any stories of him prior to this. I'm sure that he would show up in flashbacks or what have you. However, Craig Simpson has a giant mass of hair, a giant handlebar mustache, riding boots, since he is a stunt motorcycle rider, and a kerchief. Again, yes, maybe the best designed character in the history of comic books.
He's just basically the comic version of Mustachio.
There you go. I'm okay with that.
That's what he looks like to me.
He needs a bullwhip called Shoe Baby.
But you know who reminds me of? The Golden Age Vigilante. Do you remember him? And he was in the cartoons. He had the blue shirt and the kerchief.
There was some Hulk villain that had a similar design as Crash Simpson here.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could remember him. I just remember he was on my lunchbox as a child. I had a Hulk lunchbox as a child.
That's because you were. What was this from the song? Glamorous?
Right. Isn't he glamorous? Glamorous.
Yes.
But no, I liked it very much. It felt as much as they tried to... you said it was overwritten. I don't think that it was overwritten. I think they were trying to do too much. Like, they're trying to do an origin story. They want to have, like, your chase. You want to have your superhero stuff. And you also want to have, like, your horror-type twist in there as well.
I didn't mean so much as overwritten as the way the story was told. It was told in a very straightforward, matter-of-fact, like, because he's giving the confession. You know what I mean? Like, instead of seeing a lot of, instead of acting it out, it was like, and then I went here and I got the books, and he's explaining it in that old style of comic writing, mm-hmm. where it's more explain it than show it, but it works because it's a person giving a confession, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I mean.
Still enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad.
All right. So our book for next week, in keeping with October being spooky, scary, sort of thing, we're going to do Afterlife with Archie number one.
Oh, cool.
Even though it's, you know, kind of a full ongoing story, it was, I think the first issue could kind of be read one and done, which is what we aim to do with these Todd and Joe Have Issues. And it was the book that the line can be traced back to the existence of the Riverdale TV show.
Yes,
if it is. Afterlife with Archie doesn't happen, the Riverdale TV show doesn't happen.
Well, that's the guy who writes the Riverdale show.
Right, Roberto Aguirre something.
Right. So this is like this, and it changes Archie for, like, the Archie line for good. It's the softball episode of Archie. That's what you could say.
There you go. Ozzie Smith does not fall down a hole, though.
Oh, that's too bad. No elephantation of the head or anything?
Right. Roberto Aguirre Sacasa is the writer of this. And this was kind of like he had done stuff for Archie before, and he had done stuff before in comics, but this was kind of his launching pad into the populace and the zeitgeist and the so forth. And it was only 4 years ago, so things happened very quickly.
Now, if they could just finish Afterlife with Archie, that'd be good.
Well, I think issue 11 is solicited to come out.
Right.
So... I think that covers everything there.
Right.
I remembered to mention next week's Todd and Joe Have Issues without being reminded of it.
Right.
So we're going to talk about last week's episodes of The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. We're always going to be like a week behind on these. So if you did not watch them, you don't care, you don't want to be spoiled, whatever it is, we bid you adieu. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening. Episode 368. Long Box Heroes, and we'll give you like 2 seconds here, and we'll get talking about those two shows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Flashy. Episode 1, Season 4, Flash Reborn.
Yes, who's going to be the speedster villain this season?
Mm-hmm. Well, they told us there's not going to be a person with super speed as the villain. But we are... getting a Flash villain, as we do get teased at the end. And you being more of a Flash person than me, I have some questions in regards to the samurai robot thing and where that fits in, or was this just something for the TV show? But we're 6 months after the events of what happened at the end of last season. Iris is running things back at Team Flash headquarters, while Wally and Cisco are working a little bit more closely with the police. Then Barry seemed to, obviously they need to work together, but it's still not enough. What did Iris say? It's like one in every three villains gets away?
I think that was the ratio.
Right, so this samurai guy shows up. He's way more superpowered than both Cisco and Wally together. He says, "You're not the Flash. I want the Flash. I'm coming back in 24 hours. I want the Flash." But the Flash is trapped in the Speed Force, right? It needs that person to be in there. So he goes and gets Caitlin, who seems to be somewhat in control of her Killer Frost powers.
Somewhat,
and has her assist them in making, what did he call that little red ball thing?
I forget. I know it was the speed bazooka they used, but...
Right. It was the Horcrux that they had to use since Draco Malfoy went back to Hogwarts.
Which I hate when that happens. If you're not going to stick around for 2 seasons, write him out before he leaves.
Right. So they bring Wally back, but it's not the Barry. Wally that they knew. Or Barry, rather. Barry. They bring Barry back because they're going to shoot the speed bazooka with it. They're going to shoot this thing with the speed bazooka. That's going to shoot it into the Speed Force. That's going to pull Barry out, and this thing is going to remain there and trick the Speed Force into believing that Barry is there. Obviously, terrible plan. Horrible plan that won't come back and bite them in the end. And then Barry comes out and he's like crazy. He's writing stuff on the walls. He's hearing things. But the touch of the woman he loves is what kind of snaps him back. Or does it?
I think it does. And I know what was going on him as far as I'm concerned.
Let's talk.
Because he says two things that tell me what's going on. He's either seeing all times. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Or he's seeing the future. I don't know if it's both, because he says some other things. Like, he says, "This house is bitchin'," which I think is going to be the thing that later on in the season, they're going to be like, "You said that." But the other two things is he says, I'm innocent. I didn't mean it to happen. That's a storyline that I think that's going to come up, that it's going to be the trial of the Flash. which is a famous storyline. And they kind of did a season or two ago while he was running through time. He saw him sitting in the Flash outfit in a courtroom. So I think that's that. And then he says a line that says, "We're going to need more diapers." And that line is in the future when, in the comics, when he marries Iris, he has two kids that have powers and they're the Tornado Twins. So they have twins. And I think that when they're going to say, "I'm pregnant," blah, 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 they have the baby and he's going to be like, "Oh, it's actually twins." And he's going to be like, "We're going to need more diapers." And that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be wrong, but that seems like a really strong, like, theory.
I like your theory. Mm-hmm. Again, I really had no theory. I'm just like, hey, the show's back. I like it. I'm happy. This makes me feel good. Some of the special effects were a little bit dodgy toward the end.
When he was running on the
samurai thing was flying away with Iris strapped to his back.
And they were running on the windmills?
Yes. A little dodgy there, but listen. A couple spots I could forgive when it's not the entirety of the show that's all dodgy.
Right. What sci-fi show does that?
Pretty much all of them.
No, not the British ones.
Mm.
But anyway.
Anyway. And then we get the reveal of the, I guess what's going to be the big bad for the season, which is going to be mm-hmm. the Thinker, right?
Right. Which they mentioned in passing last season. Mm-hmm. If you had paid attention, it was when Abracadabra came back and he's like, "Barry, I'm here." He's like, "I'm from the future. You don't know who I am, but I'm one of your rogues, and I'm just as famous as Snart, Mick Rory," and he mentioned, and then he's like, "DeVoe," and Flash looks at him, and he's like, "Oh, we haven't got that far yet," or something like that. And I was like, oh, he's the Thinker, and that's what I'm guessing that this, unless they do a swerve and DeVoe comes later as, like, the Thinker too, mm-hmm. That's that they were kind of hinting at him last season. What is there something else you wanted to know?
No, look. Well, it looks like the guy who's doing the Thinker is in for the whole season.
Right, he's going to be the big baddie. Now, we're going to get a reverse Flash story at some point, mm-hmm. but at least it's not, because I do have a feeling there's going to be a reverse Flash story every season, because it'll just be different times that he met him before he died. But at least it's not an overarching speedster story.
Right, and this is why I don't like the internet, Todd. I always try to avoid spoilers.
Right.
And they have the titles up for the next 2, 3, 4 episodes.
Right, I don't want to know.
I'm not going to tell you.
Because there's something that's very spoilery in one of them, isn't there?
Yes.
Is it called The Death of the Flash?
No.
Mm.
Go ahead. You don't want me to tell you, but you want to guess. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to say it. Not that. I was going to just ask, is there anything else you wanted to ask, or do you want me to tell you about the Samuroids?
Tell me about the Samurai and how it relates to the Thinker. Is this something new created for the show?
No. Did you remember when I tweeted out the picture the other day of Flash 181 for no apparent reason? Mm-hmm. And it was this. You might want to look it up. I didn't put too many tweets out. But it's the Samuroid from this issue. It's from the Silver Age. I don't know if the Thinker was involved. I can't remember because I don't remember the Silver Age books as fondly. But there's that scene where the Thinker or the Samuroid beats up Wally dressed as the Flash. And he puts the sword through his costume and he's holding him up in the air like, "You're not the Flash. I want the real Flash." That's the cover of 181.
Gotcha.
So I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And I put it up there knowing if I just wrote for an absolutely no reason, the people who hadn't seen the episode, just Todd's putting up a Flash cover. And then when you see it, you'll be like, oh, that's why Todd put up that cover. It was a spoiler without being spoilery, John.
Mm-hmm.
So.
See, now in retrospect, you've ruined the episode on me.
Oh, yes. Now that you've watched it.
Right. Watched it and enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm happy the Flash is back.
I am, too. And I like the new costume, which is the costume that kind of we saw when Flash went into the future mm-hmm. and saw Sad Flash with the really realistic wig on.
I saw I guess it was like a teaser image or something, where he's going to have like more goggles over his eyes, I guess.
Right, which takes me back to around issue 50 of the Wally West run, when he had the white eyes, which I really liked. Oh my God, I know too much about the Flash.
You do, you're Mr. Flash.
I'm Flashy McFlasherson.
Right. So let's move on to the other show that we watched, which was the season 3 premiere of Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
So we left off with a cliffhanger last season where they showed up in our time, but there was like dinosaurs and all sorts of crazy stuff all over the place. And it then turns out, as they're trying to figure out a way to fix this, or try to figure out what's going on, Rip shows up, looking all fancy-like, and fixes the problem lickety-split. See, after he left them at the end of last season, he went off to form...
The Time Agency.
The Time Bureau.
Bureau, yes.
Who essentially are fixing all the things that the Legends have messed up over the last 2 years. So now the Legends services are no longer needed. They're not wished well in their future endeavors. They all go and get random jobs, whether it be... Adam goes and gets a job working at Not Tinder.
Oh, that was my favorite.
I thoroughly enjoyed Sarah, White Canary, whatever, working at Not Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right. My favorite part was, you're lucky to have a job in this economy, especially being pronounced dead twice. I was like, and that, it be between Arrow, she was killed twice on that show?
Right.
Fantastic.
So, while this is going on, of course, Eugene Grimby from the Wool Council and Jackson are like, oh, you know, we got together once a week in a not rip-off of Quantum and Woody from the
Clang Our Bands.
What was that?
And Clang Our Bands.
And Clang Our Bands together. You know, Dr. Stein is, like, kind of enjoying his life at home, his daughter's pregnant, everything else like that. But Jax kind of misses the adventure, the excitement. He dropped out of school. He doesn't want to be an engineer because he's already been doing engineery stuff. But Mick is the catalyst for everything that happens in the episode, as he lives the dream, what he wanted to do at the end of last season. He goes to Aruba, collects a bunch of STDs, and runs afoul of time anomaly Julius Caesar.
Yes, which is fantastic. And my favorite part is the time that the team gets back together to say, hey, we can fix this. There's a Julius Caesar's in Aruba. And they're like, oh, well, we would have noticed. We're pretty sure. And they go, and because there's toga parties in Aruba, there's a mix-up, and they actually think that it's not Julius Caesar. They just caught some kid in the Three's Company aspect of this episode.
Yes.
Is fantastic. I was just waiting for Mr. Furley to show up at some point.
Well, and like every, and then Mick is like, oh, you want to use, hang on, I still got like dust up my nose. I feel like a sneeze coming on. I don't want to do the Mick Rory impersonation. Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, I want to get something out of the vending machine. And he uses one of the gold doubloons or whatever it was that Julius Caesar dropped in his escape. And they're like, oh, that's actually from 33 BC, so you really did meet Julius Caesar. The Time Bureau's wrong. We're going to go lift the Wave Rider and go back. And then everyone is able to use skills from whatever they were doing. Like, Sarah figured out what Julius Caesar was doing when she set them up to get the book back. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they would do at Not Bed Bath & Beyond. They shake out Caesar because... they hack into the Not Tinder that Ray was working on.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture that they use that Gideon sends them
is the girl who plays Gideon.
Right, which was fantastic, right?
Right.
So they get Julius Caesar. Okay, so that's how they get Julius Caesar. They bring him back. They give him the Men in Black flashy, flashy gimmick. The Time Bureau is like, enough. You guys keep messing things up. We're going to go get them. Julius Caesar people get the drop on them. Of course, then the Legends have to come in and fix this problem. Nobody puts any small hats on. Sadly. No one has any bad wigs. Sadly. And then again, of course, the Legends are allowed to exist as part of the Time Bureau, but not really part of the Time Bureau. It's kind of an uneasy alliance. And Mick has the hots for the stuck-up lady who's also a good fighter, kind of, sort of, just like Sarah.
Right. They keep the group because the second command lady doesn't want it. And he's like, but she's like, they're a chainsaw. And he's like, yeah, but sometimes you need the chainsaw. So I'm hoping, you know, they'll actually use a chainsaw at some point. But no, it was a fun episode. Legends of Tomorrow has just, like, of all the shows, has been the most fun. And I just had a blast. And like you said, now that I think about this, Sarah at the not Bed Bath & Beyond was pretty good. And the not Tinder thing was fantastic. So all around a great episode.
I loved this episode. Liked it better than The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I did not like about this episode was any time that Commander Steel is in his full Steel mode and talks.
I love that. I love the budget that they put into Commander Steel.
He does it a couple times because he's now Central City's second most famous superhero.
And he's trying to get himself over because there's other more popular heroes in Central City.
Right.
Kid Flash is more popular.
Well, I think he's saying he's second to Kid Flash because we live in a world where Barry Flash is gone.
Oh, that is true. But Vibe's around. So who's bigger, Vibe or Steel?
That's close. I don't know.
If they make Vibe breakdance like he did in the comics, then he's a clear number two.
Doing some big Adidas windmills to open up some portals. Oh,
the triple head spin.
Right. So there's that first there's the first fight that he does where he's all steeled up and everything, but he doesn't talk while he's in the full steel, and I'm like, oh my goodness. All right, here we go. We're doing okay. And then the second time when he does it at the end of the episode, and he talks while he does it, I'm like, oh, stop doing this.
I'm like, talk more. So now are we going to add that to the little hats and wigs, is Steel talking in his full-on hard metal form?
Well, we're going to get a little bit more of that because, you know, obviously Amaya of Vixen has left. She's gone back to 1942 because she has a bigger place. She has to protect her village, essentially.
Right.
And there's discrepancies of, did she break up? Did she go of her own volition? Did Rip influence her to go back? But obviously, she seems to have a handle on things, but because they give the teaser of what she's doing, I'm thinking that they're going to go there soon. If not next episode, the next episode after that.
Well, okay, time out. Do you remember why everybody was telling her she had to go back to her own time? Was because her village gets wiped out by soldiers. And she found out about it, and she's like, oh, I got to go back and fulfill the time. And they're like, no, we can get away from it. And so I'm thinking when she goes back, those soldiers were supposed to wipe out her whole village, but she ends up saving it. So that, to me, I think is one of the anomalies that's going to kickstart whatever the season's going to be about, if you get what I'm talking. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I'm talking? So that's what I took away from the ending, is that she has now changed time.
Right, but yeah, so I really liked the episode.
Me too.
I'm glad it's back, and then we got Walking Dead coming back this week.
Right, I wonder if the dead will walk on that show this week.
I saw people tweeting out, it's like, are you on Team Rick or Team Negan?
Negan.
I'm on Team Daryl. He's dreamy.
You know what, because they have the marathon that's on right now.
Right.
And it's just like we're in the early seasons. And I watched like an episode of the first season and how clean cut Daryl is, even for being like a meth dirtbag at the time. Like, he's more meth dirtbag now than he was meth dirtbag in the first season.
When he was actually a dirtbag and actually doing meth.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like he has a short hair and he's almost clean shaven, and you look at him now and he's scruffy Daryl who all the women love, and I'm like, I really would like a time-lapse photography of Daryl throughout the episodes just to see how scruffy he gets. Fantastic.
So again, I like Flash, I like Legend of Tomorrow, but I'd give the nod to Legend of Tomorrow.
Me too. And Arrow was good, and Riverdale was awesome. I know you'll never get around to Riverdale, but never. That's my favorite of the shows.
Not with Stranger Things is getting ready to start up in like 2 weeks.
Well, just I'll drop it once the way Netflix does. Did you see the Netflix DVD that's coming out of the
yes, box? Yes, I just saw it this morning.
The Target exclusive? That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I know we're all over the place and the show's almost over, but
yeah,
as soon as
the TV talk, it's just whatever.
Right, so as I saw that, I'm like, that's some fancy packaging right there.
Yeah.
That is glorious. Especially as men of our age, you know what I mean? Who used to actually get the VHS tapes from the local VHS tape rental establishment.
Oh. You can't unscrew this one and put empty spools back in and return it like some people do.
Oh, like your uncle?
Yeah, my uncle. My scam was that my dad had one of those like old school video cameras that you would actually put like an actual VHS tape in.
Right.
And there was something about that when you would put a rented tape in there, hook that up to the VCR and play it through the video camera, it would more times than not bypass any sort of copyright protections.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, and that's how we amassed our surprisingly large VHS library growing up.
Wow.
Yep.
It's like the Kroger meat scam, but with videotapes.
On a much smaller scale.
Right.
Yes.
All right, then.
So I think that's everything.
Yep, I think so too. Not a long show at all.
Oh boy. All right. So for episode 368 of Longbox Heroes, for Todd, this is Joe saying we'll see y'all here next week, and thanks for listening.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop!
Oh, crap!
He's got a mouthful of pretzels. But here we are, it's week 7. We still got like 9 more weeks to go. It's like football takes forever, huh?
I'm trying to put you back in.
It's already back in. You already knocked the cord out once.
Yeah.
He's the loudest eater and drinker in the world. All right, are we ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So first pick, the Chiefs or the Raiders?
Do you mean that one?
That one.
Chiefs.
Okay. The Buccaneers or the Bills?
Buccaneers.
The Panthers or the Bears?
Bears.
The Titans or the Browns?
Titans.
The Saints or the Packers?
Let's pack it up.
The Jaguars or the Colts?
Jaguars.
The Cardinals or the Rams?
Rams.
You always pick the Rams. The Jets or the Dolphins?
Dolphins.
Dolphins. The Ravens or the Vikings?
Vikings.
The Cowboys or the 49ers?
49ers.
Oh, boy. The Bengals or the Steelers?
Bengals.
The Broncos or the Chargers?
You mean on this one?
No, it's on this one.
Oh. Bronco.
The Seahawks or the Giants?
Giants.
The Falcons or the Patriots?
Patriots.
And the last one, the Redskins or the Eagles?
Eagles.
Eagles. All right. What's going on this weekend? Anything?
Not much.
No, nothing's going on this weekend?
Oh, my birthday is.
Yes, it's Ace's birthday party. Anything else you want to say to anybody while I have this open?
Nope. I forgot to tell you this.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you next week.